Our scripture lesson for today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. You can follow along with me in the Pew Bible located in front of you or on one of the two screens located behind me. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The word of God for the people of God.
I wonder if you might bow your heads and pray for me and with me. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time of worship. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would all be inspired by you, just as in the time of preparation, this sermon was attempted. I attempted to give this to you. So now I pray your blessing on it. Without your presence, my words will simply not matter. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to continue to be present in this space using every servant. So we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, before I begin the sermon, if you're a family that came to the Vacation Bible School and you're here today and your kids were here but you don't usually come here, please know you're invited. You're welcome. We would love to have you come back and make this your church home. And yeah, thank you for that. There's something really powerful about being in a fellowship of people that are like-minded. Trust me, if you get to know us, we don't agree on everything, but we do agree on the centrality of Christ. We agree in the presence of God as our creator and our redeemer and our sustainer. We have come to find love and fellowship. We're trying to build a diverse community here that would reflect the community that we live in. That's one of the things that we're trying to do. It's going to take time. And I'm grateful for everybody who's a part of that and wants to be a part of that. And so I just, most of all, would just love to have you come and call this your church home. And I know the clergy that are here would be honored to be called your pastors. And so with that said, now there's a sermon. So Floris Fran is here somewhere. Where is Floris Fran? And we've been encouraging you, as we said during the announcements, to take Floris Fran with you this summer, a little bit like Flat Stanley, as Barbara said, and just let us know where you're at, and just put that hashtag, Floris Fran. I've been doing this just this past week, even though I wasn't here last Sunday, because I was already down at Lake Junaluska, North Carolina, for a big conference I was a part of. And Allison Malloy, who's sitting out here with her sister Catherine, Allison was also a delegate to the Southeast Jurisdiction of the United Methodist Church, where we elected bishops this past week. And Allison, this is our new bishop, and her name's Reverend Bishop Sharma Lewis. And so I was introducing Bishop Lewis to the delegation, a big room full of people, and Allison looks at me, and this is the first thing Allison says to me. She goes, Tom, this would be a great moment for Floris Fran. And I was like, yeah, great, but I'm not even, and she's like, I got her, and she pulls her out, and there she is, so we get a picture with our new bishop, so that was kind of exciting. So, I don't think I've ever lived in a time when people take any more pictures than right now. Would you agree? I mean, it's just stunning, and most of these pictures are taken this way, which is a very new thing. As somebody that's had a camera in his life for a very long time, this is a new thing. And the advent of the selfie. And so we take pictures of ourselves. This is a picture of me and a couple of friends of mine at a jurisdictional conference. These are also clergy in Georgia and Florida. And so I did what you all do. I took the picture of the three of us, and then I posted that on my Facebook page and said who I was with Olu and George. And as we did that, the guy sitting next to me, Olu, he goes, hey, text that to me. I was like, okay. And this has become the posture of picture taking. And that's because there is this button on your fabulous, miraculous device. And it's this button in the lower right-hand corner. See that button? It's got it looks like a symbol of an old camera, and then it's got arrows. Do you know what that's called? Sermon title, just to give you a hint. It's called the photo flip button. That's what you call that button. That's called photo flip. And photo flip allows you to turn the lens of the camera from here to here. And then I'm looking at, look, wow. You're good. It's me and the candles. And I can just take that picture of myself. And everywhere you go, people taking pictures of themselves. And that's the advent of the selfie. And I just want to say really clearly, I've got nothing against people taking a selfie. Like, that's just, there's no spiritual problem, but it is an interesting device to think about where our focus is and where our attention is. Because there's something nice about pictures that don't include us. There's something nice about the old pictures. So this, on Friday at this same conference, this was the pastor that I started under in Duluth, Georgia, Harvey West and his wife, Charlene. No two people could have been better to me and Karen than these two individuals. They welcomed us into their home. They made us a part of their family. We ate Sunday dinner with them just about every Sunday because the distance between our house inside Atlanta, inside the perimeter, and their home in Duluth, which is north of the Atlanta Beltway. And so whenever I see them, I just have such joy. And I took a picture of the three of us like this, and can I just tell you something? It wasn't that good because I was in it. It was too close, it was too hard. And then I said, hey, just stand there, let me get a picture. And when I see this picture today, I think about all the dimensions of ministry they brought to us. And what a blessing they were. There's something about getting your focus fully on the other person that's really a blessing. And so this issue of where the focus is, it was true a couple weeks ago at our annual conference. This is Sarah Evanko. I hope I'm pronouncing her married name. She's newly married and her married name now. These are her parents, Gary and Vicki Engel, who often at 11 o'clock sit right over there. And their daughter, Sarah, grew up. That's her husband, Clifton. She has a son named Luke. And Sarah grew up in this church. I remember Sarah when she was a teenager. When I arrived here, she was probably a sophomore, junior in high school. And now she was just a couple weeks ago made an elder in the United Methodist Church. And she invited me. It was such an honor to stand behind her and lay my hands on her as she was ordained as a pastor. And when I see a picture like that, and this something about me not taking the picture, but me being a part of the picture, just changes it somehow. What is it? What is that that changes when we're looking at, we're focusing here and not here? There's something that changes. Again, I've got no problem with people taking selfies, and I do that as well, and I've got some this morning that I took that I'll post later because it's rude to do that right in the middle of a sermon. But the point is this. Pictures tell a story. You ever seen the website Humans of New York? Have you ever seen that website? Just show of hands. I'm just curious. Humans of New York, you've seen that? Our daughters gave me a book a couple of Christmases ago called Humans of New York, and it's got all just picture after picture. I just think it's the most interesting device. This guy walks around New York City with a camera, and he takes pictures of people, and then they give him four sentences, no more than four or five sentences of their story, of who they are and what they do. So I was looking at this recently, and if you go to the website right now, you can find the one that I'm talking about. So go to Humans of New York, and then there's going to be a picture of two older women sitting on a bench in New York City on the street, and one of them has a walker in front of her, and it's a picture of these two women, brightly colored outfit, and I just want you to try to get, I'm not going to show you a picture, I want you to try to picture what do these two women look like. This is what the caption reads. So the caption is what they say about themselves. One woman said, "We don't have any hobbies, but we do try to get together a few times a month to judge people and complain about things." Can you picture those two women? Honestly, I want to sit down on the bench with those two women and see what they've got going on. There's another picture that left me so curious. so curious, wondering what on earth is this story. It's a man sitting on a, looks like a park bench. And you can just tell from his countenance, he's very reserved. He's shy. He's got his hands in front of him. His head is slightly down. There's a woman sitting next to him. She looks very kind of vivacious. She's got her arm around him. She's wearing a white hat. She's looking at him very intently from the side. And the caption reads, "We lived across the street from each other. He was so shy, I wasn't even sure if he knew how to speak English. One night, I heard a car idling outside for over an hour. I went outside to see what was going on, and I found him passed out drunk in his car." So not exactly love at first sight, but it grew from there. Come on, aren't you curious? I want to know some things. I want to know, is that a functional or a dysfunctional relationship? That's what I'm dying to know. I want to know what on earth God heard a knock on the car window and find out what led her to be concerned. I want to know what their relationship is like. Everybody's got a story, don't you think? And is there anything more interesting than people? Sometimes I've said, and I've heard others say, I just love to people watch. You know what I've decided is I like to people watch too, but I really like to people listen. Because when you hear people and you hear their stories, they are so interesting. But you can only do that if you're willing to do a photo flip. You can only do that if you're willing to get the focus from here out to there. And there's something that happens good in our souls when we focus out here. In fact, let me ask you something. If you had a camera, a phone, whatever this thing is called now, if you had one of these and it broke, the photo flip button broke, and you could only take pictures of yourself, would you be content with that camera, yes or no? No. No. In fact, if you had a camera that only focused here, you would call it broken. You'd say, that's broken. Every time you went to take a picture, it was always like this. You'd say, something's wrong. Now, long before anybody knew what a photo flip button was, Jesus figured that out. Jesus understood that long before this device was even imagined by any human being. Jesus put it this way. Jesus knew about the photo flip before the photo flip was cool. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Now, people in the West, because we know how our eyes work, we know that our eyes have these cone receptors in them, and they take in light, and then they do, if your eyes are healthy, your eye does this miraculous thing. It takes in all this light. And then through this amazing physiology that I believe only God could have figured out, I can see you. You can see me. You can see this candle. And, you know, over time, my eyesight's not as good as it used to be, and wow, do I notice it. That blurry thing when I get here? We tend to think the light, the eye, is something that takes in the world and collects light. But that's not how people in the first century thought. When Jesus talks about how when the eye is healthy, when the eyes are healthy, he says, your whole body will be full of light. He's not saying, take it in, focus it in, bring it in. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you are like a lamp, and you bring light to every room you're in. And that was a very interesting concept, an important concept, because in the first century, there was a lot of darkness. Friends, we are so disconnected from a world that has electricity, has no electricity. Right now, I'm standing in four spotlights. In fact, 2 weeks ago, there was a spotlight right here that was out, and I instantly knew it. When I stepped here, it was a blank spot, and I knew that was going to affect the camera. We Westerners, we tend to think about the light on us, but in the East, in Jesus' time in Palestine, no. You were like a lamp, and it was so dark everywhere they went. No spotlights, just sunlight. In those days, friend, a lamp was one lumen, one. But when you carried a light into a room, because there was no overhead light, no electricity, that light was powerful, powerful. And Jesus is saying, you have that same ability in the world you live in. You have that same ability. And he says, when his light is in you and in me, we change the room when we walk into it. We change the room. And he said, you can be one of two ways. You can either be healthy and have that inner light and share it, or you can become incredibly unhealthy, just like a phone that can only take a camera picture, a picture this way. And you would say, Tom, my phone is broken. Jesus is saying, when your light doesn't get out, you're broken. And God needs to heal you. And you know the difference. You know, some people are light givers and some people are light takers. Amen? My goodness, this woman, her husband was having a birthday. And she really wanted to be a special day because she was just one of those light-giving people. And she thought, I'm going to make him breakfast, because she never really made him breakfast during the week. He got up and went to work before she did, and so he, you know, cereal and all that. But she said, I'm going to get up, I'm going to make him breakfast, I'm going to have eggs for breakfast. That's going to be the start of his birthday. And she had the whole day planned. But she wasn't sure what kind of eggs he would like. So 2 days before the birthday, she gets up. She makes him a scrambled egg. She wants to test it. She puts the scrambled egg in front of him. And he looks at it and he goes, huh. She said, what? He said, I was hoping it'd be boiled. She thought, okay. Next day before the birthday, she gets up, she boils an egg, she puts it in front of him, he walks down, he goes, huh. What? Hoping it'd be scrambled. Okay, next day was the birthday, she thought about this, what am I going to do? Birthday morning, she gets up early, she's excited, she's going to start his day off right, she gets two eggs, she boils one, she scrambles the other, she puts them both in front of him and says, happy birthday, and he goes, huh, and she goes, what? He goes, you boiled the wrong one. Come on, that's funny. Hey, do you know people like that? Come on, everybody knows people like that, don't you? Do you know somebody like that? Are you ever that person? Are you ever that person? Just ask yourself this. I've had to ask myself this because I just heard that joke like 2 days ago. Are you ever like that? And when I heard that in a sermon, I thought, I've been that guy. Honestly, I felt God kind of convict me a little bit. Because you know what? You can have every resource in the world. You can have it all. And if the lamp inside isn't right, it'll never be enough. And it won't matter if they boil them, or they scramble them, or they poach them, or they put hollandaise sauce on. It'll never be enough. If your eye, Jesus says, if your eyes are not healthy, because when you can't see what God's done for you, when you can't see the presence of God in this world, it just doesn't matter what you get. But Jesus says if we can just turn it around and focus on somebody or something other than ourselves, that's where the health is. But my, it's a struggle, isn't it? It's a struggle, strange as it sounds, it's a struggle to get the focus from here onto here. If your eyes are unhealthy, the whole body will be full of darkness. That's what Jesus knew. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And what a shame, because then we miss so many opportunities to do good and be good when our eyes are unhealthy. And it's not just about what we're seeing, It's about how fundamentally we interact with each other. And I've discovered it's not just about the eye, it's about the ear. It's about the ear. One of the things that, there's a project that's being done with the Library of Congress right now. It's called StoryCorps. Have you heard of this? Have you interacted with this at all? They've got a website. StoryCorps has a trailer that they take around the country, and it's essentially it's a audio booth. And you go in, they take two people inside, it's always two people, and they let people ask each other questions that they've always wanted to ask them or tell stories that they know are pivotal stories to the life experience. And the way that sort of the brevity of Humans of New York is also a part of StoryCorps, because these, if you go to the website, they're only 3 to 4 minutes long at the most. I listened to one just yesterday about a guy who found, he was a police officer, and he arrested this very famous criminal in the, I think, the 1950s. And it was so interesting, and it was his son interviewing him about when he caught the guy, because this guy was a con artist and always got away from the police by convincing them that he wasn't who they thought he was. But this guy was like, I know exactly who you are. And he held him, and then the people came in and identified him. And they talked about that moment. And so StoryCorps, it's always like a parent and a child, or it's like two siblings or two old friends. There were two men that met each other at an event, and they both had sons with autism. And they were talking about what it was like to be a father. It's just fascinating what you can hear in about 3 to 4 minutes. The guy that runs that, who thought that concept up about StoryCorps, whose name is on this sheet of paper somewhere, David Isay is his name. And he had a quote in an interview I heard. He said, what I've discovered is listening is an act of love. When we listen well, we are fully focused on the other. Listening is an act of love. And he's collected over 60,000 of these stories. And he said what he's really struck by, he said when you get people in the booth and these two people who know each other, he said there is a deeper space of intimacy because it's a sacred space. That's what he calls it. He said it's a sacred space where they are totally focused on each other. And the thing I want you to think about is this: how often do you enter a sacred space of listening where you are totally focused on someone else? And you have no, there's none of this. There's just this. And I am totally focused on that other person. Because our world's got a lot of darkness. We've got lots and lots of darkness. We of overhead lights and electricity. And it's amazing to me how much the world needs an ear that can hear and an eye that can see. Isay said that he's now involved in a project doing, in this interview I heard, interviews with veterans post 9/11. So anybody that's been in the armed forces since 9/11. And he said, you get them in the booth, and he said, they tell the most amazing stories. And he said, I've looked at them and I've said, have you ever told anybody that story before? Now, again, these are men and women that have served in the military since 9/11. So pretty recent. Amen. And he says, have you ever told that story before? And he said, every single time I get the same answer, no. And he said, then I ask, why haven't you told that story before? And he said, they keep saying the same thing over and over. Nobody has ever asked. Now, friends, we've got a lot of folks in this area that serve in the intelligence branch, and they can't talk about what they do. We all know that, right? But we've got a lot of folks who serve, do Department of Defense work abroad, men and women who are in our armed forces, they absolutely can tell their stories. But I bet what is true with his world is true in this world. I bet nobody's asking. And there's this ministry of listening. There's this ministry of noticing and of asking and of getting yourself into the safe environment where you can just look at somebody and say, hey, tell me your story. What's it like to be you? What's it like to do what you do, see what you've seen? The martyred German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was killed by the Nazis in World War II, he had a book called Life Together. It's about living in community and for the church. And Bonhoeffer said this. He said, "The first service that one owes to others in the church consists of listening to them. Just as love of God begins with listening to his word, so the beginning of our love for the brethren is learning to listen to each other. It is God's love for us that he not only gives us his word, but he also lends us his ear." Now, Bonhoeffer writes in the male pronoun that may feel odd to your ear, but just I want to read his original language. I think he's being inclusive in what he says. He says, "Many people are looking for an ear that will listen. He who can no longer listen to his brother will soon no longer listen to God either. And this is the beginning of the death of the spiritual life." In other words, what Bonhoeffer is saying is, if you live your life here, pretty soon you won't know God any more than you know the people around you. There's something very powerful about the eye that can see and wants to bring light and the ear that listens. And I think that's why Jesus said, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And so my question to you today is this. Keep your focus here. I know they're coming up. They're not taking over. My question to you today is this. You ready? How is your eyesight? How is your ear? Are you focused on yourself, or have you been able to flip it around to see the world in front of you? Because right now there is so much opportunity for love. In the last 2 week period, just think about all that we've had. Just think about just 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, two African-American men killed by police officers, Minnesota, Louisiana. The week after that, in Atlanta, police officers gunned down just for showing up and doing their jobs. Now, I bet, and everyone in here, I bet in our social orbit, work, home, neighborhood, family, I bet you've got a person who is an African American who may be a parent in that social orbit. And let me ask you, have you said to anyone, hey, how are you doing? What are you thinking? Can we get our eyes on someone, on other people? If you've got somebody who's in law enforcement or who's a police officer or who does security work of any form, have you, in that orbit, have you intentionally sought them out, called them up and said, hey, you've got to be feeling a lot of anxiety. How are you doing? Or would they say, nobody's asked? And friends, there's a lot of work of mercy and justice to be done. A lot of work of mercy and justice to be done. But the work of mercy and justice will not happen until we have lamps burning to bring light into this world. And that starts with listening to the perspective of people that are not just like me. But I'll tell you something about me. I'll never do this on my own. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you spend your whole life just me, focus, 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 focus. Picture, 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 picture. And I've really been thoughtful this past week. I need the Holy Spirit to break into my life. Every day, more and more, into my anxiety, into my concerns. But that's not going to happen unless I welcome the Spirit of God into my life. It requires intentionality on my part. If I want God to begin to work in me, I've got to invite Christ into my life. I've got to invite the Spirit of God to get the focus from here out to here so that I start thinking about the people around me as much as myself and caring about their situation. And friends, as the band sings a song, I want you to use the song, not as a song like, okay, it's the last song and then we go. But I'd like you to use the song as a prayer. And I was in a setting this past week where a group of people did this, and this song was played, and I felt like it sort of changed things. And I realized in my spirit, I don't have the power on my own. And the truth is, I've got the same anxieties everybody else is carrying, and I need God to be in me, to light that lamp, so that I can take the light out into the world, into my home, into my community, into my church, and be somebody who's a light giver instead of a light taker. So let's stand and let's let the band lead us in this song and sing the song as a prayer.